Begin the current daf in Masechtas Ksubis, daf Chav Beis. Begin four lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which in general we're discussing Kiyum Shtaris regarding the verification of a document that was contested by the borrower. More specifically, as the Gemara had been previously talking about, when a Bezdin, when the court sit down, who they are the ones that verify the document, and they write a hempek, they write that this was verified, and then something happens as they're in the process of verification in the court itself. As the Gemara says, Amar Bezeira, Ha Milsa, this halacha, me Reb Abba Shmieli, I had heard this from Reb Abba, me ilav Reb Abba dimin Akai, and if not for Reb Abba from Akai, who he reminded me this halacha at a later point in time, Shchachta, I would have forgotten it, which is as follows. Gimel Sheyashu L'Kayim Eseshtar, if three dayanim, three judges sit down to verify a document, which is, again, there's different procedures, either that the witnesses themselves come and verify their signatures, or other people verify their signatures, or they compare it to other documents. But umeis echad mihem, and then one of the judges, before they got a chance to sign on the hempik to verify this document, one of the judges die, so tzrich lemechtav, they have to write the following text in that hempik. B'mais of telos havinam, we were three men, and one of them is not around anymore. In other words, because the verification of a document requires three people. Now, someone that sees the signature of the judges is only going to see two signatures because one of them died before they got a chance to sign. So therefore, the people will start assuming that you could be Mekayim Shtar with two witnesses, with two judges, which is not true. You need three. Therefore, they have to write that we were three, but we're only signing two because one of them died, but the verification happened through a court of three people. Now, however, Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, he says, "Ve'ikas of beishtara dinan nafik lekadmona beidina." But if it's written in the text that this document came in front of us, the Bezdin, then suleitzarch, then you don't have to write anymore this amendment which was mentioned by in the Gemara from Reb Zera, and that's because we know that a Bezdin is not less than three people, and therefore this itself proves that there were three, and we won't come to them, make the error and say, well, there's two signatures. They verified with two. No, because they wrote it took place in a bezin, and the bezin is three. On that, the Gemara asks on Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, the Dilma bezin chatzav, who maybe it's an audacious bezin, as the Gemara says, a kedush Shmuel, Damer Shmuel says, shnaim shadanu dinam din. If two people adjudicate a court case, their court case is valid. It's just that they're called an audacious type of a court, and that is because appropriately it should be three, but it does work as two. And therefore the question of Nachman Yitzchak is, even if they wrote Likadmana Beidina, how would that prove that there's three if we see that it could work as a Bezdin of two? And therefore you should still have to have the text of Reb Zera to write that there was three, but one of them died. Now the Gemara answers, no, the Chsiv Bey, it wrote not just any Bezdin, Beidina Dirabana Ashi, the Bezdin of Rav Ashi. And Rashi explains it's just saying the normative, in other words, because Rav Ashi was the Rosh Hashiva of Masa Machasi in the days of Nachman Yitzchak, who he's the one that's saying over this halacha that if you say Beidina, it's enough. Now, but he was just picking Rav Ashi as an example of saying that Rav Ashi's Bezdin is definitely not going to do it with two. So if he wrote the Bezdin of Rav Ashi, that would, again, verify that there was three. You don't have to write that there was three and one died, because although two is signing, but the fact that it said it took place in Bezdin of Rav Ashi, most definitely there were three. So the Gemara still asks, V'dilma Rabbanan de Bei Rav Ashi Kedish Shmuel Sevir Lahu. How do you know? Maybe the rabbis in the court of Rav Ashi hold like Shmuel, and that they say that a Bezdin Chatzif will work, and therefore two could be a Bezdin, and therefore how does that prove that there's three? Maybe we'll still assume that Kiyum Shtaris could be with two. Now the Gemara answers, the Chsiv Bey, it says, V'amar lon Rabban Ashi. It says that Rav Ashi told us to go ahead and verify these documents. Now, since Rav Ashi himself mandated the Kiyum Shtar, he most definitely would have told them to do it with three. And that's again what when he says that Lekadmona Beidina, you're right, there is a halacha of Shmuel that it could be two. But however, we're talking about that it's not just that it took place in Bezdin, that we wrote that Rav Ashi had mandated us to do the Kiyum Shtar, it's for our Bezdin. And therefore, Rav Ashi for sure would require three, not for it to be a Bezdin Chatziv. And that's how, again, you wouldn't have to write the text to Reb Zera that there was three and one died, because we'll know by the fact of mentioning that there was a Bezdin mandated by Rav Ashi that there must have been three people. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayas, which we opened up the parak with this concept of Pesha Asu Pesha Hitter, which is that if someone created the liability, he can then qualify it and undo it because he made it forbidden, he can make it permitted. As the Mishnah explains, Ha'isha sha'amr eishas esh ha'yisi. If a woman comes, we don't know who she is, she says, I want you to know I was married, which is an iser, she's forbidden to all men, but v'grushani, I was then divorced. So the man, she's believed, sha'pesha also a pesha hita, because the mouth that made her forbidden, which is her own admission, is the same mouth that can make her permitted by saying, yes, I was married, but I got divorced, so I'm okay, I can marry other people. Now, however, but if there are other witnesses that verify for us that she was a married woman, but for here, Meres Gerushani, she's saying, you're right, the witnesses are correct, I was married, but I got divorced, then in the menace, then she's not believed. There's a chazaka of Eishes Ish, and she doesn't have a Pesha Asa because we're not knowing that she was forbidden as a married woman based on her testimony. We know it because of two witnesses' testimony. Therefore, hard test, singular testimony to say that she's not married anymore, that she was divorced, is not believed. Similarly, Amr Nishbasi, if a woman says that I was taken captive amongst the non-Jews, but I did not have cohabitation with any of the Ivid Kachavim of the non-Jews. So, and that she's the man, that she's believed to say that because she was the one, the Pesha Asa, generally a woman in captivity by the non-Jews, they do beer with her, but that was only her admission that said she was taken captive. So that's the Pesha Hitter to say that, but I didn't have beer. So she's believed to go ahead and she's actually permitted to a Kayin, because although generally a woman that has beer with a man that's Asurla, which is a non-Jew, would make her forbidden to a Kayin, but again, she's believed to say that she didn't have beer with any of the non-Jewish captors. Sha'pesha also ha'pesha hitter, because the mouth that makes her forbidden is the same mouth that can make herself permitted. However, if there are other people, there are witnesses, that they testify that she was taken in captivity, but she's saying, you're right, I was taken in captivity, but I'm pure. And in the minute, she's not believed, again, because there's no Pesha Asa over there. Now, the Mishnah concludes, V'mishinissis bo edim. If witnesses come after she already got married, and the Gemara doesn't explain which case and exactly what's that going on, harezu lo teitze, then she doesn't have to leave that current relationship that she's in. Now, regarding this halacha that we have been discussing throughout this parak, the Gemara qualifies this halacha. Amar Abasi, minayin la pesha asa hu apesha hitter minater. Where do we have a biblical source for this concept that we keep on mentioning of the pesha asr, the mouth that made it forbidden, is the same mouth, pesha hitter, that can make it permitted? So he brings Shadim, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim. This is the pasuk by Mitzi Shemra, when a new husband comes the next day after he consummated the relationship, but he says, there's no besulim by this woman. Now, so the pasuk there quotes in Devarim Chavbeis Tazayin, that v'oma avi hanara el azakenim, the father of the girl comes to the elders, and he says, Esbiti nasati le'ish hazeh le'isha. This, my daughter I have given to this man as a wife. And like the pasuk concludes, Vaisna'ah, and he hated her. He's being Mitzi Shemra, he's spreading slander. It's not really true. She really is a Basula. Now, but one thing we see from that pasuk is, when he says, Esbiti nasati le'ish, let's say he would stop the sentence over there. So then Asra, he has made her forbidden to the whole world because we don't know who he made her engaged to. And therefore, no one is permitted because it might not be that person. But at the same time, since she is married to someone, she's engaged to someone, so she's forbidden to everyone else as an Eishes Ish. Now, but when he then finishes up his sentence and he says, L'ish hazeh, to this man, ah, hetira, now he has permitted her to this man. That's the concept where we see Pesha Asar, L'ish, and then Pesha Hitter, when he says hazeh, when he says a man, so she's forbidden to everyone else because she's Eishes Ish. But then when he says hazeh, he has permitted her at least and qualified it, said, but it was to that man, and she's permitted to him. Because up until he says hazeh, he was actually forbidden even to that man too, because we don't know who she was engaged to. Now, then the Gemara asks, Loma Likra, why do we need a pasuk for this concept, what is called migui of Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter? Svari, it's logic. Hu Asra, he made her forbidden, v'hu Sharila, and he has permitted her. Why would we need this pasuk as a source? So the Gemara says, you're right. It is a source, it is logic, and therefore there's no need for a pasuk to explain this concept. Rather, what is that pasuk necessary for? Look at Rav Huna Merav for a different halacha. Tam Rav Huna Merav, he says, Minayin la'av, we do know regarding a father, Shineman limsra es biter, that he's believed to have given over his daughter when she's a minor or a nara, which is between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, where then he has the authority to marry her off to another man, as the Gemara explains the Perek Nerush in the Spata. From where do we know that if he says, I was Mekadosh to such and such a person, that he's permitted and he's believed to make her forbidden to everybody else. He's believed to say that this is what he did, even though we don't know otherwise. Where do we know this concept in that Torah? Shneimer, that's the passage that we brought. As biti nasati le'ish, that my daughter I have given to a man. In other words, we see that the giving over of this girl is dependent, and the pasuk believed him as such in this realm, as we see that this is what he's saying, and the pasuk is believing him to say that he has given over his daughter to a certain man. We see that he has the authority, and therefore he can make her forbidden just with his words to every single person in the world, because he claims that he had engaged her to a specific man. Now, but the Gemara asks, Hazeh Lomali. Since we just explained that the pasuk of, before we explained, Lo Ish is a Pesha Asa, and Hazeh is the Pesha Hitter, where then he's permitting her for this man. But now that we said that it's a Svara, it's logic, we don't need the pasuk to teach that. And what the pasuk is teaching us is regarding that he can make her forbidden to every single person, which is the Pesha Asa part, but you don't need the Pesha Hitter part. So Hazeh Lomali, what do you need? The word Hazeh to this man, what's that coming to teach us? So that the Gemara says, it's coming to teach us this that Rabbi Yehuda had taught. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk says, "Is biti nasati leish hazeh." I have given up my daughter to this man, and like the pasuk says, and he obviously hates her, and therefore he's spreading this slander that she's not a basula. Now the diuk is, and this is what we're learning from this word hazeh v'loy liyavam. I have given over my daughter to this man and not to her yavam. Meaning, if let's say this man that he had married off his daughter to died without any children, and then the yavam, before his brother ever consummated the relation, he's the first one to have be with her. And he spreads slander, and he says, this sister-in-law of his that he's doing yibum with is not a besula. So what Rabbi Yehuda learns from the pasuk is that he doesn't have the halacha of Meitzi Shemra to get punished with 100 silver coins, as the Gemara proves later on in Perek Nara. That's what we learn from Hazeh B'Liliyav. It's only if this is the man that he had married off his daughter to, but not if it's that man's brother-in-law, his brother, which is his daughter's brother-in-law, which that would be the mitzvah of Yibam, there wouldn't be any punishment of even if he's the one that's Moitzi Shema. Now the Gemara continues with similar cases like that of our Mishnah. Tarabanan, Ha'isha Sha'amr Eishas Ishani. If a woman comes and she says that I'm a married woman, V'chazra Amra Panuyani, then she comes and she says, I'm single. So on that, the Braisa says, Neman, that she's believed. So the Gemara asks, but v'shavi l'nafsha chaticha di'isura. Here it's different than the case of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah is that she's saying both are true. Pesha asar, it's true I'm married. But then she's pesha hitter, she says, but I got divorced. Yes, I was taken in captivity, that's true. But pesha hitter, but however, I'm tahira. But here, this is contradictory. And once she has testified something regarding herself, that she's a married woman, she can't undo that. She can then say a postscript. But if she's saying that I'm married, then she's saying, no, I'm single. So then that's what's considered shavei nafsha chaticha d'isur. Once you make something forbidden to yourself, now that's what you believe. Now you can't go ahead and just undo that. And you don't have the concept of pesha asar. So why is she believed to say that she's really single? So Amar Rava bar Rav Huna, it's told my kugan shenos na masla devra. You're right. Generally, she wouldn't be believed because she made this thing forbidden to her. She's believed like 100 adim to say that she's a married woman. And now that she's coming herself to say she's single, she's not believed anymore. It's only to make it isser, but not to make things that are known to be usser then permitted. Again, unless you had a pesha usser, which we don't have any over here. But what we're talking about is that she gives a legitimate excuse for why she had originally said that. Once we see the logic and what she's saying, okay, then we say, fine, we get it, why you said that, and therefore you believe to say that really you were single. Tanem hach is similar in the Braisa. Amr ishes ishani. If a woman says, I'm a married woman, and then she comes back later and says, I want you to know, I'm single, and in the man, she's not believed. And that's because, as we said before, because shavid nafshe chaticha disura. But, vim nasna masla devarao, she gives a legitimate explanation for why she had originally said that she was married, then the man, she's believed to say that was the reason why, and therefore we could believe her that it's not an element of Shavya Navshe, and really she really is single. As the Gemara illustrates, Umay Sename Beisha Achaz Gedola, as there was an incident with a certain great woman, Shaisa Gedola Benai, that she was very great in beauty too. V'kavtza Leb Benai Adol Mekadesh, many people were desiring her to get married to her. V'amar Lahem Mekadeshes, and she said, I'm sorry, I'm engaged. So, however, Liyamim, Amdebekitcha Sasma. A short while later, she went and she got engaged to someone else. So the sages said to Amar Isalasik, and where did you see fit to do this? You're telling people you're engaged, and then you go ahead and get engaged to another man? You obviously can't be engaged to two people. So Amalahem, she said to them, look, originally, when inappropriate people were advancing to try to get engaged to me because of my beauty. So I said, I'm engaged, and I was able to get rid of them. But now that appropriate suitors are coming to get engaged to me, so I went and got engaged to one of them. Now the Gemara says, "Vezu halacha." And this halacha, Hello, Rav Acha Sahar Bira, the master of the mansion, came lefnei chacham b'usha. And they said, "If nasna masla devara, and the man, if she gives a good excuse, then she's believed." So though essentially she was shav enough shechaticha deisur, she told people she's engaged, hence she should be forbidden to go out and get engaged to another person. But she gave a good amasla by saying, "I was just trying to get rid of these people, and that's why I said that." And she's believed to say that's why she said that, and that's why she was able to be considered penuya to get engaged to someone else. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Bayimene Shmuel Marav." Shmuel asked the following question from Rav. Let's say Amr Tamani. Let's say a woman tells her husband that I'm Tame, I'm a Nida, I'm a menstruating woman. Then she comes back and says, "No, it's not true. I was never a Nida, and I'm actually Tar." Mahu, what's the halacha? So Amalei, he said to him that Apazul, same thing applies over here. Im Nasla, as we can tell on Tamid Beis, I'm Masla Devra. If she gives an explanation and reasoning, why was it originally that she said what she said? Then the menace, then she's believed since she gave a legitimate explanation. And therefore, though she said originally she's a Nida, she says, I was upset. There's a good reason why she said that. And therefore, she would be believed when she gives the legitimate explanation. So the Gemara says, Tanim ne'ar bom zimnen. So it happened that Shmuel went and he repeated this. He chazed it over. He reviewed it 40 times. Even though that he learned this halacha, he didn't do the same thing for himself. In other words, one time it actually happened where his wife told him that she's a Nida. Maybe it was for a different reason because someone that was around, it would have been an uncomfortable situation, so she said she's a Nida. But then she gave an explanation to her husband to say, I'm not really a Nida, I just said it for that situation. And still, he removed himself from his wife until she went and immersed herself in the mikvah, in spite of the fact that Rav had told him that if I'm nosla masla devra, that she's a menace. Again, continue on a similar vein regarding the permissibility of a woman when it's muchzik that she's a married woman. So Tarbon learn the brisa. Shnayim oimrim mes. If let's say two witnesses come and say that this woman's husband died, thus making her permitted to other people. Shnayim oimrim leimes, and two witnesses come and say he didn't die. Or let's say shnayim oimrim nisgarsha. Two witnesses come and say that he divorced her. Shnayim oimrim lo nisgarsha. Two witnesses say no, he didn't divorce her. So the halacha is harezu lo tinase, because it's a stalemate. And she stays in the status quo that we know she was married, so she shouldn't get married to anyone else. V'mnisus leitetze, however, if she gets married to someone else, she doesn't have to leave that marriage, which the Gemara later will ask, why? That's what's called trey. It's a suffix dairaisa, and therefore she should be forbidden to go ahead and make an active move to marry someone else. And if she does, even then, every time she continues to stay with him, it's an active participation in a possible iser because of this suffix of trey. So the Gemara will address that. He says, no, like similarly as the question we'll ask on the Tanakama, where you have to leave because it's trey, and he might not have died, he might not have divorced her. Now, Amar Benachem Rabbi, however, he qualifies, and he says, when do I argue on Tanakama and say that you have to leave that second marriage? That's only bezman shebo edim. That's only when witnesses come and they say that he didn't die. So you already have a trey before you're getting married, and then you get married, then we say you have to leave because you violated the isra of trey. But if you got married and then witnesses come and say it's not true, he didn't die, it's not true, he didn't divorce her, then like Tate said, once you married and you didn't do it in a situation of violating anything, because then there were only one pair of witnesses who said that he died, then she doesn't have to leave that marriage. Now, on that the Gemara asks, both on him and on the Tanakama, Mechti, let's see. Trey v'trey ninu, this two witnesses saying that he's dead, and two witnesses saying that he's not dead. Haba le'a b'ashem tolakoi, whoever has bia with her, which is her new husband, is having bia with a suffic curse, because she might still be married to that person. So how could they maintain that relationship according to both interpretations, according to Tanakama for sure, according to Menachem Abiesi, even if she married first, and then that second period comes, she should have to leave because it's a situation of suffic of Hashem Tali. So Amrav Sheisha, she explains, Kigun Shinisis Le'echad Meidah, it's talking about where who did she get married to? Who is this new husband? It's one of the witnesses who said that the husband died. Now, the reason for this is that the halacha of Ashim Tali is only with someone that he's worried, not sure that did I violate an issa? Was it a piece of Ashim? Was it a piece of a chaylev or shuman? I'm not sure. So you don't know. And it's not like you know you violated, even inadvertently. So then you bring Ashim Tali. Here he's saying, I know he's dead. I know there's two witnesses saying he's not dead, but that I saw him dead. So therefore, there's no Ashim Tali. And that's why, once they're married, at least even according to Menachem and Biesi, you don't have to leave that relationship. So the Gemara asks, fine, that takes care of the husband. But he guva b'Ashim Tali kaimer. But the woman, the wife, she should have to bring Ashim Tali. How does she maintain that relationship? She doesn't know. She has her new husband and someone else that's saying that he's dead, and two other people saying that he's not dead. So the Gemara answer is no, there's also not a problem because by Meres Barili, she's saying that I don't have any qualms about staying in this new marriage. I know for sure that if he was alive, he would come. And the fact that he didn't come, even though there's two witnesses saying that he's not dead, I don't believe them. I know for sure that he is dead, and therefore there's no problem. Again, yes, it's trey, and status quo would say you shouldn't get married, but once you're married, then you don't have to leave that relationship again because, and there's no Ashim Tali because both of them know, her because of her confidence and him because he claims he saw him dead, that they have no problems about the fact that he might be alive and that she might be a nashesish. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Shnayim Omrim Mes. Two witnesses say that the husband died. Vishnayim Omrim Loi Mes, and two witnesses say that he didn't die. So, again, as we said from the Tanakam, Harezu Loi Tanasi, so you shouldn't get married because trey it's a Savak Deraisa. But if they got married, then you don't have to leave, as we said, the opinion of Tanakama, which obviously is talking about that he's Bari, and she's also Bari. They're both confident, therefore there's no Ashim Tali. Now, Shnayim Oimim Nisgarsha, as we said before, two witnesses say that he divorced her. But Shnayim Oimim Loi Nisgarsha, two witnesses say that he did not divorce her. So, Harezu Loi Tinas, again, it's Trey, so she shouldn't get married to someone else, because it's a Suffolk HSH. But Vimnisis, Teitze, Rabbi Yechanan says, but if she did get married, then she has to leave that relationship. So the Gemara wonders, Maishno Reishno, Maishno Seifa, what's going on over here? Rabbi Yechanan seems to be segue somewhere like in between the Tanakama and Rabbi Nechem Rabbi Yasi. Tanakama said that no matter what, if it's divorce or if it's death, that you don't have to leave once you got married. Rabbi Nechem Rabbi Yasi said either one, that you have to leave. Why is Rabbi Yechanan differentiating that saying by death, you don't have to leave? But regarding the suffix of trey of divorce, that you do have to leave. So the Gemara gives three interpretations in the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. Amabai, he says, Tirgama, you should interpret this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, actually, it's not the same case as the Tanakam of Nechem Rabbi Yasi. It's actually talking about bi'eid echad, with one witness, not with two. Rather, one witness is saying that he's dead, and one saying that he's not, one saying that he divorced, and one saying that it's not. As the Gemara explains, Eid Echad Oimer Mes, when one witness is saying that the husband died, so he knuhu Rabbana Kebetre. As the Gemara elaborates at length in Masechta Zivamis and Perke Isha, the rabbis believed this one witness to say that the husband died as if he's two witnesses. And the reason, as the Gemara there explains, is because of the stringencies that we apply to the woman at the end, if it turns out their husband's really still alive, that we penalize her with all these different ways, so we were lenient because of Iguna in the beginning to allow her to get remarried based on even one witness's testimony. Now, however, but we do consider that one witness like two witnesses. Now, moreover, Ukade Ula. Dama Ula, he says, Kal Malkum Shemina Tar Eid Echad, wherever we believe one witness for biblical purposes, like here, Ashes Ish, we believe the one Eid to allow her to remarry someone else, Harei Kan Shnayim, then we equate that one witness like two people. Now, therefore, if a haid to come a loy mes, now the other one witness who says that he didn't die, havel echad. For that, we didn't consider one witness as two. Vein dvarav shalechem bakam shnayim. And one single witness's testimony is not considered in halacha in the face of two witnesses. Now, although it's really one and one, but that one of saying that he's dead, because of igunu, we consider like two, and that's why we believe him, and that's why the halacha is that loy teitze when one said that he's dead. Now that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, but if that's the case, the way you just explained it, then even initially she should be able to go ahead and get married because you have two, quote, two witnesses saying that he's dead, one witness saying that he's not. So then you should be able to go get married because two overpowers one. So the Gemara answers, you're right. But Mishum de Ravasi, it's because of the following halacha from Ravasi mentioned in the second parak. The Amar Ravasi says, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, which basically means to say that you don't want people to be speaking things saying, whoa, what's going on over here? And essentially what that means over here is that since there's one saying that he's dead, yeah, of course in halacha we consider him like two, but there's also one person saying that he's not dead, it's not appropriate for the woman to go ahead and get married to someone else if it's really one against one. Now, yes, b'di'evet, she's not going to have to leave that second marriage if she does get married, because halachically we view it as echad b'makom shnayim, but like etchila, it's like tinase. However, but we have explained why according to Rabbi Yechanan, when it comes to the case of Misa, that we'll say loitetze. However, Seifa is also a continuation, as Abayat explained, with eid echad. Eid echad oimin nisgarsha. One witness says that her husband divorced her. Ve'eid echad oimin nisgarsha. One witness saying it's not true, he didn't divorce her. She's still an eishes ish. Now, tarvayu be'eishes ish kamasadi. Both them are essentially testifying that she, at least initially, was a married woman. It's just they're arguing if she got divorced or not. Now, that essentially, based on both their testimonies, they're creating a chazaka that she was an eishes ish. Now, v'haydu kam niskarsha, now when one comes along and he's saying that she got divorced, havalecha, that makes him one, vein devar v'shal echad b'makom shnayim. And here, it's the reverse. He's one in the face of two, because the fact that both of them are testifying that she's a married woman, and one is saying that, and she still never got divorced, one's saying that she's got divorced, he is echad b'makom shnayim because he agreed with the other one that she was married. Now it's only him trying to remove from that chazak of eishes ish that both of them established, you don't believe one b'makom shnayim, and therefore even if she got married, the halacha is going to be a teitze, because halacha is that two are saying that she's still married, and therefore she has to leave. The second interpretation of the Gemara is Rav Amar, he says, la'olam treinu. The truth is, as we had assumed, as it seems like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that's what the words of Rabbi Yochanan we have in our text, is that it's two saying that she's dead, two saying that she's not, that he's dead or that he's not dead, or two saying that he divorced her, and two saying that he didn't divorce her. Now, but then the question is, it seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan is somewhere in the middle, where on the one hand, he's like the Tanakama for Misa, but on the other hand, he's like Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yisi for Gerushin. So the Gemara explains, V'ra Rabbi Yochanan devar v'shal Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yisi begerushin. Rabbi Yechanan saw fit to passing like Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yisi regarding the halacha of divorce, when they have this trey, which he passed that you have to leave the marriage if it happened that the Edom came before she got remarried. But v'lay Rabbi Misa, but he didn't see fit to passing like him in regards to when there's a trey, if the husband died or not. So I think that's my time of why. So the reason is because Misa, regarding the claim of the two witnesses if he died or not, if the husband comes and he walks in and he's still alive, she can't refute him to say, no, you're dead, because obviously he's still alive. Now, therefore, it follows that if she wasn't positive that he was dead, she'd be afraid and she wouldn't get him married because she knows she can't refute it. So she would definitely check to make sure that he's really dead, because if he comes, she's, so to speak, dead meat, because she's now she has to leave from him, she has to leave from her, she's done. And she can't deny that he's, and so to speak, say what I mean, there's two witnesses say that you're dead, but he's alive. So therefore, he believes her, and if she got married already, if the husband's not here, although there's two witnesses saying that he's not dead, we'll let her stay married. And it would be loy teitze, like the Tanakama. But regarding gerushin, regarding if there's two witnesses saying that he divorced her, two witnesses saying that he didn't divorce her, if the husband comes and he says, I didn't divorce you, she could deny him. She could say, it's not true, you did divorce me. And I even have two witnesses that are here and saying that you divorced me. I know there's two witnesses saying not, but there's two witnesses saying yeah. Now, therefore, if we permitted her to stay married once she got married, then she would rely on the fact that, yeah, even if my husband comes and he says, what do you mean, I never divorced you, I could deny him and get married based on this doubt of two witnesses saying that he did divorce and two witnesses saying not, and she won't be afraid to go ahead and check to make sure, did he really divorce me? Was it halachically valid or not? And that's why we actually require, like Rabbi Nachman Yosef, that teitze, because we don't rely on her here, because she will rely on the fact that she could deny his claims that he didn't divorce her. And that's why he differentiates between Misa and Gerushin, if it's teitze or like teitze. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this explanation, would a woman be so audacious to go ahead and respond and say you didn't that you divorced me when he really didn't divorce her? But the Gemara asks, but v'amar Rav Amnuna, he says, if a woman says to her husband, you divorced me, Nemenah she's believed, and the reason is because chazaka, there's a presumption that we have that ein isha mi'iza ponel b'fnei bala, a woman would not be so audacious in front of her husband to say, you divorced me, when he never divorced her. So the question is, if a woman would not have the azus, and therefore we actually believe her generally, so then why is it that you're saying that by gerishin we require her to leave that second marriage because maybe she really wasn't divorced, and she'll just be machah, she'll deny her husband's true claim that she wasn't divorced, but we see that's not true. She wouldn't be able to say that she was divorced if she really wasn't divorced. So why do we require by gerishin teitz? Eh? So I think my answer is no, it's different. Hanimili, when did Rav Amnuna say his halacha? That's hecha deleka edim to come masayim ala, when there's no witnesses supporting her in her claim that she was divorced. So a woman on her own to come to her husband and say, you divorced me, she wouldn't have the azus. And if she's saying it, must be it's true. Aval hecha deleka edim to come masayim ala, but if there are witnesses supporting her, where that's the case we're describing, when two witnesses are saying she's not divorced, but there are two witnesses saying that she was divorced, and therefore she has them backing her up, then me'iza, then the woman would have the audacity to say such a thing to her husband, because she says, what do you mean? Look, there are two witnesses. On her own, she wouldn't. But when she has her husband, when she has the two witnesses, then she would. And that's why Rabbi Yechon was concerned for the stringent opinion of Menachem Rabbi Yisi regarding the halacha of Gerushin, that it would be teitzei, because maybe it's not really true. She didn't really check it out so well. And it's just because she's not afraid of her husband coming and denying her, because she could deny him by saying, look, I even have two witnesses. And that's why he differentiated between Misa and Gerushin. Third interpretation the Gemara brings is Ravasi Amar. Ravasi says, it's told my kugin the Amri Edim. It's where the witnesses say that Achshav, today, it's Mace that he died. Achshav Girsh, it's today that he divorced him. Now, that's the explanation that the Gemara says. Misa, lek levrura, regarding if the husband died. In other words, if the witnesses say that he drowned in the sea, or we saw a lion eat him, we can't verify if what they're saying is true or not. And therefore, leketchila loitinase, as we said, because two are saying that he died, and two are saying he didn't die. So trey is a stalemate, status quo, you stay. You definitely, up until we know further, you have to be machmer and stay as Aisha says. But if she gets married, then as we said from the opinion of the Rabbanan, that's loy teitze, because as we explained, it's she's confident, she's buried that he's obviously not alive, because if he was alive, he would have came. And the aide who claims that he saw him dead is also buried. So therefore, once they got married, so then, okay, it stays status quo on what they had done, and loy teitze. But gerushin ikaliv rura, regarding divorce, you could verify, because darmina we tell her im isa da hachihava, if it's true what you're claiming that your husband divorced you, and we have two witnesses saying that we saw her get divorced and two witnesses saying that he didn't, achsi lon gitach, show us your get. In other words, it can't be in such a short amount of time that you lost the get. We're not going to believe you to say, yeah, I don't have a get, but I have witnesses. We would have told you, bring the get, and that's why Rabbi Yechonon says, over there the halacha is, according to the third interpretation of Avasi, that's why we say that she has to be teitzei, she has to leave, because if you don't have a get in such a short amount of time, definitely a reisa to say that you really weren't divorced, even though you have two witnesses saying that you did, but we have two saying that you didn't, and therefore, in that short amount of time, yes, it would be at a later point in time, then maybe, actually, Ravasi's interpretation would hold in Rabbi Yechonon that he would agree to the Rabbanan, that you don't have to leave, it's leitetze. But here it's talking about that it was that day, so that makes sense to differentiate between death and divorce, because death, we have no verifying. So, okay, then we'll say back to the old Suffolk, and if you already got married, leitetze. But here we won't say back to the old Suffolk, we'll say, what do you mean? You got divorced, show us the get. And if you're not showing and producing the get, then we'll say, teitze, that's enough reason to say that you must still be married and that you were never divorced.